The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop looking out over London.
Good night and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
All righty then. Welcome to a Wednesday. It's the day after the midterm elections. There's some good news. There's some bad news. And there's breaking news. Oh, my God. And no, I'm not talking about the ridiculous press conference that happened an hour or so ago. I'm talking about Jeff Sessions. Yes, the tweet announced the new acting attorney general. Jeff Sessions' resignation letter began with, as you requested, here is my letter of recommendation or something like that. And so it starts. Mm-hmm. Before we get all stressed out, maybe we can get a laugh or two.
Here we have it. That's the first news of the evening. Democrats control the House.
Yay!
They can now open investigations into the president.
Yes.
And we'll finally find out if Donald Trump has ever done anything unethical. That's the banner headline of the evening. Democrats take House. Everything after this is just gravy, okay? Mm. This is it. The Democrats have taken control of half of one of the three branches of government. All the GOP has is the other half of Congress, the Supreme Court, and a president who does whatever he wants. So far, tonight's feeling is, yes. all yes. Now, it's a hot one. Thank you, citizen. Now, apparently, voters responded to the Democrats' call to expand health care more than Trump's core message, Latinos are coming to hit you in the face with rocks. This victory means the return to power of presumed Speaker of the House and woman treating herself to two calcium chews tonight. Nancy Pelosi. You live it up, Nancy. You go, girl. This is the craziest part. This is how America found out around 9:30, when only 98 of the 435 House seats had been called. Suddenly, on Fox News, this happened.
We are now ready to make one of the biggest calls of the night. The Fox News Decision Desk can now project that Democrats will take control of the House of Representatives for the first time in 8 years, dealing a major setback to President Trump's legislative agenda.
Wait a second. Is Trump right? Is Fox the only non-fake news? Are we in the upside down? Is the new Senate Majority Leader the Demogorgon?
Okay. Thank you, Stephen Colbert. I guess he was live last night. I didn't happen to see any of his coverage because I was alternately dejected and a bit happy, but then pissed off again. I just got to do this. On behalf of the sane people in Florida, I really apologize. Yeah, Florida did it again. And it doesn't make sense what Florida did because it just doesn't make sense. Apparently, they're saying in Miami-Dade County, there are some anomalies in the vote counting. I know, shocker that is. But apparently, some people voted for the governor's race but didn't vote for in the senator's race or the other way around. I mean, there are things that just don't make sense. I'll tell you something else that doesn't make sense. Who would vote for Bill Nelson for senator here in Florida, but then not vote for Andrew Gillum? Does that make sense? Yeah, if the people who are doing the voting are racists. And that's the only way I can figure that Andrew Gillum underperformed Bill Nelson. Bill Nelson, look, I would like him to be the senator just because of the numbers. But Bill Nelson has been a pretty worthless senator. He really has. And I think he's already served three terms. We would have all been better served had he been primaried by a progressive. But that didn't happen. So, you know, it's the lesser of two evils. Yes, I'd much rather have Bill Nelson than Rick Scott. Are you fucking kidding me? Rick Scott? Voldemort, the living embodiment of Voldemort is there in Rick Scott. So there are all kinds of things that don't make sense with the ballots in Florida. Go figure. But you would think that would be, you know, it's sort of the lead story today. The lead story should be the election where Democrats take back the House and, you know, still lose the Senate and lose a few more seats in the Senate. But we knew that going in. The map, this for once was not the Democrats' fault. The map just favored the Republicans so much. And actually, the Democrats sort of outperformed the map. Breaking news just a couple of hours ago, like right when the presser was starting. Oh, yes, there was a press conference today. We'll get to that. Right when that was starting, they called the race in Montana for John Tester. Donald Trump went to Montana three times in the last week or two of the campaign to rally for the senatorial candidate who was going up against John Tester. I mean, Trump wanted Tester out, and Tester won. Yay. So some good things happened. Again, being in Florida, I'm bitter. I'm really bitter. Something is not right in Florida. That's sort of an understatement. I'll tell you what, we're going to go through a lot of the election returns. Dave Johnson will join me in a few minutes. But before we get to it, we'll do a little overview in What's News, which we'll do live. Do it live. Do it live.
I read the news today. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Well, the 2018 midterm elections are now history. And yes, history was made. Democrats have taken back control of the House of Representatives. Of all places, Fox News was the first one to make the official call.
We are now ready to make one of the biggest calls of the night. The Fox News decision desk can now project that Democrats will take control of the House of Representatives for the first time in 8 years,
wow,
dealing a major setback to President Trump's legislative agenda, giving fresh hope to liberals who want to investigate, as we just talked about,
this is Fox,
possibly even impeach the president. Democrats now will control the Senate.
Although the exact size of
the House, I'm sorry.
The House. Fox had to get something wrong.
Very, very big deal. I think of Nancy
this
Pelosi
is Chris Wallace.
As the Speaker of the
this.
House, Adam Schiff as the Chair of the House Intelligence Committee, Elijah Cummings as the head of the House Oversight Committee, Jerry Nadler as the head of the Judiciary Committee, Maxine Waters, Financial Services. I know a lot of listeners.
My Congressman Ted Deutch, head of the Ethics
Committee.
This
is going to be a very different Washington. And yes, I think that you'll see an effort to legislate, and maybe on things like infrastructure, there'll be a possibility of doing it. But one of the things that a lot of Democrats also believe that they have been sent to Washington to do in this new Congress will be to investigate. And
that's,
you can
right.
be sure
damn
that they're
straight.
Going to haul members of the Trump administration up, and it'll make life very difficult for them. And there's been some criticism that the Trump White House is not prepared, as other White Houses have been when they lose control of one house, for the onslaught of investigations and subpoenas that they're about to face.
Of course. So Trump did sort of address that during his presser, and basically he threatened the Democrats. If they launch investigations, we'll launch them in the Senate of them. We'll investigate them. He is such a fucking moron. Okay. Sorry, back to the news. That was Chris Wallace, election night on Fox. Although the Democrats won the House, the Republicans have tightened their grip on the Senate. As of 7 a.m. this morning, Democrats had won 219 House seats and taken 26 from Republican incumbents, whose ranks currently total 193. These numbers have changed since 7 this morning. I think the Democrats were up to 222 or 223 the last time I looked. That was before, well, Tester is in the Senate, so that doesn't even count. And I think the Republicans were at 199. Again, that will change, but you know, the Democrats won. Republicans bested two vulnerable state Democrats, I think it's three now, ousting Heidi Heitkamp in North Dakota and Phil Bredesen in Tennessee. And in a squeaker with it going down to the wire, this was the heartbreaker, Texas Senator Ted Cruz pulled out a win over Democratic rock star Beto O'Rourke. Just listen to Beto O'Rourke, and you'll see why so many of us are excited about him.
I want to thank this amazing campaign of people, not a dime from a single PAC, all people, all the time, in every single part of Texas. All of you showing the country how you do this. I'm so fucking proud of you guys.
Yes, O'Rourke's passionate concession speech was totally off the cuff. There was no teleprompter on the stage for this speech. Just listen to this is the real deal.
And Jody and Chris and Cynthia and everyone who works on this campaign, every volunteer, every ambassador, everyone who knocked on doors, everyone who made phone calls, everyone who allowed themselves to hope and to believe and to be inspired by one another and to turn that into action and into votes. And to do something that no one thought was possible. To build a campaign like this one, solely comprised of people from all walks of life, coming together, damning the differences, and deciding that what unites us is far stronger than the color of our skin. Yep. How many generations we can count ourselves an American, or whether we just got here yesterday, who we love, who we pray to, whether we pray at all, who we voted for last time. None of that small stuff matters now. It is the greatness to which we aspire and the work that we're willing to put into it to achieve it, by which we will be known going forward. And this campaign holds a very special place in the history of this country every day going forward. And you have made that possible.
Wow. Wow. Wow is all I can say. You should watch. You know what? I'm going to find his speech online, the whole thing, and post it on the blog today at NicoleSandler.com along with today's podcast, just because it's worth watching. I think I saw about 10 minutes of it. It was all that was posted in the where I found that audio. He is so inspiring, and he's the real deal. That's Beto O'Rourke speaking off the cuff at last night's what should have been a victory party, but it was still a party. And again, no teleprompter there. That's Beto O'Rourke speaking from the heart. He's the real deal, and I don't think we've seen the last of him. And we'll have discussions. I mean, there are people now saying, Beto, 2020. He was a three-term congressman, so he served three terms in the House. I don't know that that makes him ready to be president, but oh my God, if there's a choice between him and Donald Trump, I would take him. Just saying. I know. Look, today, the 2020 presidential elections kicked off. The campaign kicked off anyway. As for Beto O'Rourke, he's the real deal. We will see more of him. So this Texas Senate race wasn't the only heartbreaker of the night. Florida, once again, proved why I call my home state Florida. Rick Scott, the governor, just edged out the incumbent Senator Bill Nelson. In the race for governor, Andrew Gillum went down to defeat to Trump acolyte Ron DeSantis. Now, for some reason, Gillum, I think he issued his concession too early. I don't think he should have conceded victory. Bill Nelson has not yet conceded the race. And I wish Andrew Gillum would, you know, take it back and say, you know what? There are still all these outstanding votes. Let's hold off. But you can't take it back once you concede.
This was from the very beginning an extremely, extremely difficult task. I sincerely regret that I couldn't bring it home for you.
Heartbreaking.
But I can guarantee you this. I'm not going anywhere. We're going to fight.
And we'll see him again.
We're going to keep fighting. We're going to keep working. We're going to keep believing. And in all of that, I believe that ultimately we will be victorious. We will be victorious.
Let's hope.
The question is, we have a choice to make tomorrow morning. Are we going to wake up and bask in sorrow and defeat? Or are we going to get up and reassert ourselves to the mission at hand? Are we going to get up and fight for the things that we believe in? Are we going to get up and say that we still deserve our seat at the table? Look, I said before that I believe that we have to have a table in this state that is long enough, that is wide enough, that is deep enough to fit all of us. I still believe that we got to have that table.
Yeah. Well, so do I. Andrew Gillum. Again, I don't think we've seen the last of Mayor Gillum. In Georgia, Democrat Stacey Abrams also refused to concede her race to Republican Brian Kemp. He's ahead with 99% of precincts reporting, but she's done the smart thing. She wants to wait for absentee ballots to be counted.
But I'm here tonight to tell you votes remain to be counted. There are voices that were waiting to be heard. Across our state, folks are opening up the dreams of voters in absentee ballots, and we believe our chance for a stronger Georgia is just within reach. But we cannot seize it until all voices are heard. And I promise you tonight, we're going to make sure that every vote is counted.
That's the way
every
you do it.
Every single vote.
Every single vote.
Every vote's getting counted. Because I'll tell you this, in a civilized nation, the machinery of democracy should work for everyone everywhere, not just in certain places and not just on a certain day.
Ain't that the truth? You know, the machines that malfunctioned in Georgia all happened to be in black areas where African Americans were voting or trying to vote and couldn't vote. The precinct where they had the machines, but nobody supplied the power cords. You know, things like that all happened in African American areas. Just interesting, right? And in Texas, there was another interesting glitch that whenever anyone tried, I guess there was a method where you can vote straight Democrat all the way down and you don't have to tick off every box. But when you did it, it flipped the votes for the governor from Beto O'Rourke to what's his name? Yeah, the other guy. I'm sorry, I'm out of it today. Yeah, the other guy. We'll see. I mean, at least Stacey Abrams did the right thing and didn't concede. So history was made last night with a record number of women, at least 96. It's now, I think, up over 100. Again, I wrote this at 7 o'clock this morning. About 100 women projected to win seats in the House. Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar will be the first Muslim women to serve in Congress. Sharice Davids and Deb Haaland are the first Native American women elected to Congress. Jared Polis of Colorado will become the nation's first openly gay man elected governor. Veronica Escobar and Sylvia Garcia will be the first Hispanic women from Texas elected to Congress. And Ayanna Pressley is the first black woman elected to Congress from Massachusetts. There were a lot of these kind of historic events, history made last night. Florida actually did one thing right. We voted here to restore voting rights for felons after they complete their sentences. This automatically, as of, I guess, today, I think it's something like 1.2 million people are now able to vote when they couldn't vote yesterday. That's history. Yes, it was it was Ted Cruz. It was a legitimate block. I did not want to have to look at Ted Cruz's face again, his penis nose. Look at a picture of Ted Cruz. He's got a dick for a nose. I'm just telling you, you'll never be able to look at a picture of the same. Just open up a Google page, Google Images, Ted Cruz. You'll see he's got a dick for a nose. Just saying. All right, that's enough for the news. I'll tell you what, let's get Dave Johnson on the line. I think he's here.
Olson Johnson is right. I say we stay and fight it out.
Dr. Samuel Johnson's right about Olson Johnson's being right. And I'm not giving up my ice cream parlor that I built with these two hands for nothing or nobody.
Howard Johnson is right.
The latest in a long line of Johnsons who were right. Correct. It's Dave Johnson on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking, who should I have on to help, be with me to go over the election results? And just so you know, I asked Dave to join me before the return started coming in last night. Dave Johnson, you there?
I'm here.
So how are you feeling today?
I'm feeling good.
Are you?
I'm feeling pretty good.
Good.
I'm
well,
not... I I kind of was like sick to my stomach last night and this morning, but I've decided I'm okay.
Yeah. I was totally nauseated watching the Florida returns come in. And again, I still buy it. I still don't believe that DeSantis, I mean, DeRacist, beat Andrew Gillum. It makes no sense at all. And that more people voted for Bill Nelson than voted for Andrew Gillum, that makes completely no sense at all. But again, this is Florida. Sense.
And also Texas, I'm just heartbroken.
Ah, you and me both.
There's several places I'm heartbroken. But we the Democrats took the House of Representatives.
Yep.
We're going to have oversight of the government again.
Yep. And although did you catch Trump's threats today?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Unbelievable.
I mean, I did. I more heard about them. I couldn't stomach watching the press conference. Most of it, I watched some.
I watched it because I felt like I had to. Did you see the exchange with Jim Acosta and then Peter Alexander?
Oh my God. Full on dictator.
Yeah.
Full on. Thug.
And
authoritarian.
Then, right. And then this guy, he's there for over an hour and a half, and he knows that this afternoon the news is going to come out that he fired Jeff Sessions. Now, technically, Jeff Sessions resigned, but the letter opens with, as per your request, here's my resignation letter.
Yeah, he's fired.
Yeah, he was fired.
He's fired.
And so,
and the guy who's taking over, named Whitaker, was chosen by the Federalist Society, and his prior job was heading up a right-wing organization that did investigations of Hillary Clinton.
Oh, my God.
Just so you know.
Just
so you know. And he is now officially in charge of the Mueller investigation, not Rosenstein.
Oh, my God.
Yep. Because Sessions was recused.
That's right.
He's not recused.
Right. Yep. This new guy is not recused. And he's only the acting. So this guy was Jeff Sessions' chief of staff. Now, he was never confirmed by the Senate, right? They don't have to confirm the chief. So how can he even be in there in an acting capacity?
Oh, that's they can put him in acting.
Oh, I see. But for how long?
They move someone up until they can confirm someone. So there we are.
Okay.
So, but we have oversight, okay? We have oversight in the House of all kinds of things. I can just imagine how overwhelming it must feel. I mean, where do you start?
I don't know.
You know? I mean, every single little, look at Puerto Rico. They're going to have to investigate Puerto Rico.
Yep.
But the resources required for that, there's so many things they have to investigate because Republicans refused to do their job, the oversight job. So here we are. So that's a big positive, isn't it? That we now will have a semi-functioning government as far as oversight is
except
concerned.
We have a president who doesn't understand that this is the function of Congress to provide oversight, right? One of the functions of Congress. That's their
the wrong
job.
Word, I think give a shit is the right
well,
word.
True. And so he made, and it wasn't a veiled threat either. It was a threat right out there in the open. If the Democrats start investigating me, I'll have the Senate investigate them. You'll get nothing done, and this is all that. I mean, it was a blatant threat. And
And also this, I'll have the Senate investigate them. That was kind of funny, too.
Oh, yeah.
It shows how he sees things, but we have it. We do have it. Here's what I expect.
Yeah.
I expect them to simply refuse to cooperate in any way whatsoever with the House of Representatives and who enforces a subpoena. So you take it eventually to the courts.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, how many Trump judges are there now that will say, oh, well, you know, we'll leave it to you or something like that. That's the next problem I see coming is the constitutional crisis of the Republic, of the president just saying, fuck you.
Mm-hmm. Well,
we're not on live radio, are we?
We're alive, and you can say fuck you because
I remember I said something on your show once, and then later in an email I sent you. I'm sorry, I said that. Should I have not said that? You replied, Dave, have you ever even heard my show?
It was different when I was on terrestrial radio, when I was on Air America or filling in for Randy Rhodes on her syndicated show. But here on the internet, it's the one good thing I can say fuck because right now that's the word that comes out of my mouth most often.
Yep.
Yeah.
So the heartbreak of and in Georgia, it's it's going to be a while before they even start any recounts, you know.
Yes, and, right. But they're because they're still counting the votes and they're still yep. counting what they have there. Then they've got all the military ballots, the absentee ballots, the provisional ballots, and in Georgia there were a lot of provisional ballots because there were so many fucking problems at the polls. So
and that's if the people who were able to get to a poll mm-hmm. to go in. For them to let them even do a provisional ballot, et cetera.
That's right.
Here's my first takeaway of the midterms.
Yeah.
Is that we have now seen voter suppression as the one of the official positions of the Republican Party. Widespread, unbelievable, blatant voter suppression across the whole country.
Yep.
Is it North Dakota or South Dakota where the
North,
Native Americans
North Dakota.
Couldn't get the ID?
That was Heidi Heitkamp's seat.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. And they get the ID,
yep.
some of them, right?
Yep.
They show up to vote,
yep.
and it says they live on so-and-so Avenue, right?
Right.
And so the voting people say, oh, no, the law says you have to have a
street address,
and this is an avenue, so go
yep.
away.
Yep.
Oh, my. I mean, how blatant, you know, especially, well, Georgia was some of it, Ohio,
uh-huh.
and Kansas. Kobach's out.
Kobach's out, which is, that deserves a round of applause, because Chris
yep.
Kobach went down, and went down
yep.
hard. Although, Donald Trump has to appoint nominate a new attorney general. I wouldn't put it past him. I really wouldn't put it past
God.
Him.
But, well, he won't get in.
No, but he would never get confirmed, obviously. But right. Lindsey Graham might.
Oh, yeah.
I know. Can I give you some good news stuff that happened yesterday?
Do you want to give the good news
yeah.
or do you want me?
No, I will. I've got some
you
stuff.
Were good.
I've got
Go
some notes
it.
Here. Okay. Kim Davis. Do you remember Kim Davis?
Yes.
The Kentucky clerk who went to jail in 2015 for refusing to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples. She lost
yep.
her bid for a second term. As the clerk there. And to make this even better, she lost to a gay man to whom she had denied a marriage license.
Good.
That's good, right?
That's good.
That's really,
nice
see, that kind of stuff is good. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez just made history, became the youngest woman ever elected to Congress.
Yep.
So that's good.
And she's great.
She is great. I'm excited to see her in action. Lucy McGrath, do you know who Lucy McGrath is?
I know the name.
Okay. She is the mother of Jordan Davis. Now, unless you live
right.
here in Florida, you might not remember, but Jordan Davis
yes.
was a teenager who was in the back of a car, in the back seat of a car, that had pulled up at a convenience store in the Jacksonville area, and they were playing the music loudly in this car. A guy pulls up next to them with his gun and gets incensed that they're playing loud rap music from the car next to him, and he pulls out his gun and he shoots and he kills Jordan Davis. Lucy McGrath is Jordan Davis's mother. And after Parkland, she had enough and she decided to jump into the race. She beat Karen Handel. Karen Handel is the one who won that special election against John Ossoff just a few months
right.
ago that the Democrats spent an inordinate amount of money on, and they blew it. And Lucy McGrath came out of the blue. This is the first time she's ever run for any office, and she won, and she ousted Karen Handel.
Didn't Ossoff, he tried to do the whole centrist moderate thing
yes,
and wouldn't take
exactly.
positions that Democrats could come out and
exactly.
vote for?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Donnelly,
in fact.
Donnelly, all right. So it's sad that the Democrats didn't gain the Senate, but it's not sad that the Democrats lost a lot of these so-called centrists.
No. And in fact,
Donnelly.
Listen to this. This is a guy named Rob tweeted this out. It's candidate votes received. Now listen to this. Bernie Sanders, 67.4%. Kirsten Gillibrand, well, she doesn't really count, but it's 66.6%. Elizabeth Warren, 60.8%. Amy Klobuchar, 60.3%. Murphy, 58.8%. Tammy Baldwin, 55.4%. And then it starts going Feinstein, 54.3%, Menendez, 53.1%, Nelson, 49.8%, Manchin, 49.5%. And it goes down, Heitkamp, 44.6%, McCaskill, 45%. And then they wrote, almost as if the voters prefer progressives to neoliberals. Isn't
or
that interesting?
Just Democrats.
Yeah, well, the progressives did better in this race than the so-called centrist
right.
Democrats.
Well, if we're gonna lose the Senate anyway, or not gain the Senate anyway, it's too bad Manchin didn't answer for his positions.
Yeah,
too,
but you know what? Manchin, yeah. I think it's as good as you're going to get in a place like West Virginia. I don't think a progressive is going to win in West Virginia. I do not
subscribe to that thinking that if someone's in a red state, that therefore all the people in that state are rabid Republicans.
Yeah, well, that's true. They're not.
I don't subscribe to that at all. Well, I think that the Democrats in the state are always looking for a Democrat to vote for.
Beto O'Rourke.
And I think that with the popularity of Democratic positions like Medicare for All and things like that, that if somebody actually ran as a Democrat, which is what we saw, look at the turnout in Texas.
I know, right?
It was a close call. Florida, it was a close call.
Very close.
By coming out and running as Democrats, I think that they got more votes than one of these so-called, well, I've got to be careful because I'm in a red state. We certainly want to try to get Republican votes and all of that stuff. So I don't subscribe to that.
And in fact, Lisi D in the chat room just wrote, Bernie won West Virginia and he won every county. So you know what?
I was about to say that too. Yep. Good. Yes.
Okay. So you know what? You've convinced me. I'm easy on that one. I always think, look, it's why Beto O'Rourke did so well. Who would have thunk in Texas, a dyed-in-the-wool progressive, and he is. I understand he was a member of the New Dems, but Howie's explained that. He is a progressive. He just joined to see what they're up to or something. I don't know. It's because he wants to how did he put it last night? He's not running against anyone. He's running for the people. He's running his campaign without worrying about the other guy. It was a very positive campaign, but Beto O'Rourke is also a progressive, and that's why I think he did so well in Texas. So I made your argument for you.
So as we look at that part, I said voter suppression is one of the new, this is what the Republican Party is. I'm going to add a second one.
Okay.
And this is a terrible takeaway from this election, because this is the lesson Trump took, and that is that it's the party of racism.
Well, it is.
There's no way around it.
Nope.
You know, you can't talk about the hurting blue-collar worker, which I say was an extremely valid point.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Sherrod Brown won because he was totally on the right issue of trade in Ohio.
Right.
But the rest of Ohio went. And I think that we have seen that Trump will take away the lesson from this. He believes this, even though the facts all show it different, but he believes that him coming out with this caravan and all the other racist stuff he did are what helped. And I think in cases like Cruz and others, it might be true.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And that's a terrifying lesson for them to take from this, because the Republican Party will become, or is now, almost entirely a cult of white nationalism, keep the others from voting, and do things to hurt them. And I'm terrified of that. And by the way, have you heard the word caravan since the polls closed?
Nope. Not a peep. Not a peep.
Right.
Except in the press conference today. He was belligerent with the media. He did, you know, if he didn't like your questions, and it wasn't only the exchange with Jim Acosta and Peter Alexander that was nasty. He said April Ryan's question was racist. No, it wasn't. And then a guy from Yahoo News, he took exception with his question. I mean, he was on a roll today. He was, Looney Tunes as usual, but even worse because I think he didn't sleep last night. He was slurring his words. It was Trump in rare form. Well, normal form
for
him.
Let me say something about that you made me think about.
Okay.
Trump has never in his life had a boss or any checks on him ever.
Yep.
He didn't have a functioning board of directors in his company. You know, he's always been doing what he wants, and that's what happened after he got elected. He did not have a House or a Senate willing to provide any checks and balances or anything, and they all turned into these Lindsey Grahams, you know. Well, this will be, I mean, he's acting like this today, but after January when they're sworn in, I mean, this will be the first time in his life that he will have somebody responsible for saying you can't do that, right, that he can't bribe or whatever. So we'll see what happens with
that. But he's going to try bullying them.
No,
I don't think he's going to try bullying them. I mean, he's going to try his thing. With,
Let him try.
Yeah.
Let him try.
Right.
Pelosi.
Yeah.
After the press conference, I did hear a lot of Pelosi's.
Oh, I didn't hear any of it because I came in here.
I want to say something. Pelosi,
yeah?
That was a talk. That was a speech for history.
Really?
Yeah, it was good.
It was about
the Constitution, and it was good. It was got Constitution oversight about doing their duty, the things they're sworn to do when they take office. It was speech for history because she was aware of the moment, I think.
Well, and she understands the role and, you know, how government works, which is something Trump doesn't get. So, Dave Johnson, the question for you then is, do you think Nancy Pelosi should stay on as Speaker?
You got an alternative?
No, I don't. And that's the problem. I think her time has come. However, I don't see anyone ready to step in unless...
Isn't that the Howie Klein formulation on this?
Yeah, but unless it's Barbara Lee... I think she could do it. Or, who else was I thinking about? Ted Lieu. You know, there are
maybe
a few.
Yeah, he's good. They're good. Okay. But they're not even in the leadership, really. Ted Lieu, they both are, actually. Yes,
they
and
are.
I agree. She's been great. She's done a good job. I think it's very bad for the country to have a... leadership. Part of why I didn't think Feinstein should have ran, it was extremely selfish of her to run at her age.
I agree.
And I'm not being ageist here. I'm being that you can't have an entire party dominated by 80-somethings.
Right. And that's what we've had. And I think it's time. It's a generational thing. I think it's time to, you know, turn it over to the next generation. But this is the problem. They haven't groomed anyone except, you know, Joe Crowley, who, thank God, is not there because he would have been the next speaker. Steny Hoyer, who's as old as Nancy Pelosi.
I was just going to have you, if you had coffee, spit it out your mouth.
Come out of the nose. Right. That's more like it. Right.
So, yeah. But, there are people who could step up to do it, but don't even have right yet the real inside experience because they have kept the doors closed to the ability to have a farm team rising up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because they're
like Pelosi, she's been good, but it's
time.
You got to have some younger people rising up, and they don't.
Yeah. Well, now there's a whole crop of young, energetic, new blood coming into the Democratic caucus in the House of Representatives. The question:
a lot of women, two Muslim women elected.
Yes.
I think was it two Native American women elected?
Yep.
I mean, whoa, yeah,
yeah. I mean, really good stuff. Again, I had I thought I had more. Good news stuff to little factoids I picked up. Trump endorsed 33 candidates on Twitter, 21 of them lost.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. That's right. 2/3 lost.
Right, but he did. Yeah. I'm going to play. Is this the one? I have a clip. Okay, this is it. Did you hear when Trump started dancing on the graves of all the Republicans who lost, who didn't embrace him?
No, I heard about it. I didn't hear it.
Okay, I'll play you this clip. I'm not going to overdo it on the Trump audio. I know a lot in the audience just really, they have a visceral reaction when I play Trump sound, and I understand it because he makes my skin crawl too. But listen to this. This is how a dictator talks.
You might want to have your children leave the room out there.
Yeah, you don't want them learning any bad habits.
On the other hand, you had some that decided to, let's stay away. I'm not sure that I should be happy or sad, but I feel just fine about it. Carlos Curbelo
in Miami lost. Mike Kaufman.
Too bad, Mike.
Too bad, he says.
Mia Love.
Too bad.
Mia Love.
I saw Mia Love. She'd call me all the time to help her with a hostage situation, being held hostage in Venezuela.
What?
But Mia Love gave me no love.
And they haven't even called Mia Love's race yet. No, she hasn't lost yet.
Too bad. Sorry about that, Mia.
Too bad.
And Barbara Comstock was another one. I mean, I think she could have won that race, but she didn't want to have any embrace. For that, I don't blame her. But she lost, substantially lost. Peter Roskam didn't want the embrace. Eric Paulson didn't want the embrace. And in New Jersey, I think he could have done well, but didn't work out too good. Bob Eugen, I feel badly because I think that's something that could have been won. That's a race that could have been won. John Faso, those are some of the people that, you know, decided for their own reason not to embrace whether it's me or what we stand for. But what we stand for meant a lot to most people.
And he went off on this, kept rambling, and I just had to cut it off mm-hmm. because he just kept rambling.
Well, the scary thing is the lesson he's taking from this is that he thinks that people who weren't flat-out racist enough, white nationalists, that costs them, that not embracing him, as he calls it, costs them. He thinks
yep.
that.
Yeah.
And he's going to enforce that on the Lindsey Graham types and stuff. So we're in for a hard couple of years.
Oh,
and the
without
question
a doubt.
Now is, where, do they overplay it or not or what? But the problem is now we've got national leadership pushing this white nationalist almost flat-out Nazi mm-hmm. Approach to things, and that is going to bring more violence. It's going to yep. bring more division and yep. all the rest of that to us.
I totally agree.
That's why I was feeling so sick last night. Even though we did take the house and the other things, you know, I'm thinking, this was not a big blue wave.
No, it was
not. This was not the tsunami they talked about.
Not at all.
We took the house. There's some good results, but it was just so disheartening to me to see how many people showed up to vote for the Nazi crap.
I know. I'll tell you something. He does those rallies, those Nuremberg rallies, and he gets
yeah.
them fired up. And he yeah. is, I have to give him credit for this. He knows how to get his base out to vote. Because mm-hmm. we saw unprecedented numbers, and so many of these races were razor thin. They were so close.
Yeah. Unprecedented numbers, they did okay.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Yeah, some of the things he was saying at some of these rallies, like that ICE forcefully liberated towns from MS-13 and marched them down the streets while there were parades of it while people cheered from the windows.
What?
He said that.
Oh, my God.
He said so. And, you know, it reminded me of once I went to this evangelical church.
I'm sorry?
I went to an evangelical church for a wedding.
Oh, okay.
And someone on the stage was talking about he had seen a miracle where someone in their church, because, you know, if you're not in our church, God will punish you,
of course,
kind of a thing,
right.
Where somebody lost an arm in an accident and the Lord grew it back. I saw that it reminded me of that. And the people at the church were, like, nodding and stuff.
Oh, my God.
And it's like Trump says these. He said that there's riots in California cities because the people are against
yeah.
sanctuary cities,
right.
And then they riot.
Yeah,
there
are no riots in California. There haven't been.
Right.
Yeah.
No.
Didn't happen.
It's like, and he says this stuff, and it's like there's this cult that just eats it up. And then he tells yeah. them, don't listen to any news except what our news tells you. The rest of it's fake news.
Right.
And all this stuff he does, and it's like a cult.
It is a cult.
It is
a cult.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, and people are believing the shit that he's telling them, and he's shown that he can mobilize them. He can get them
yeah.
out to vote.
Some of it, I get a sense watching some of these rallies. It's kind of like people who live in an entertainment bubble of a sort. You know, like if you're totally into Star Trek,
uh-huh.
I'm not saying you shouldn't be. You should
right?
be totally into Star Trek,
okay.
Star Wars,
if you want
things.
To. Okay,
but that the rallies are almost like a cosplay experience where
mm-hmm.
you get into the fantasy of the entertainment bubble, and then you cheer and stuff, and they get up and they use all the insider words from the, you know, Harry Potter or Star Wars or Star Trek stuff, and everybody cheers, and somebody holds up a lightsaber, and he holds up a lightsaber and says, "I'm going to slay the imperial, you know, forces and all of this," and Darth Vader walks on stage in costume. That's what it's like
uh-huh.
watching one of his rallies, because it's all this weird insider language, and then they all start chanting, "Lock her up,
yeah.
lock him up," and
yep.
all of that. It,
yep.
It's kind of like that. These people are living inside of a fantasy bubble and don't understand that this is a real thing that has consequences, whereas if you go to Comic-Con, it doesn't.
Right. Because one is real and one isn't. I mean, right.
Well, one is not supposed to be a fantasy exercise of dressing up and reciting lines from a movie.
But that's exactly what they do. That's exactly what they do. They put on their MAGA gear or their, you know, their T-shirts, you know, denigrating Hillary Clinton or some other Democrat, right?
Right.
And go, and they don't know their role. They know when they're supposed to say lock her up, and they know when they used to be supposed to say, you know, Mexico's going to build the wall. Now they don't do that anymore. They just say build the wall.
Well, now that Mexico did build the wall, as Trump says, that they built the wall. He says they built part of the wall.
Right. We just have to finish it is all. And they had signs.
I was going to say, if you follow me, your arm will grow back. I don't know.
Right. Well, they had signs, those printed up signs that he complains about, you know, protesters holding. Printed up signs that said, finish the wall. What do you mean finish the wall?
I know. It's like that. And I'm afraid it could get worse now because of these things. And there's one more thing I was going to bring up to be sure we get it in.
Yeah.
Trump used the power of the federal government in several ways, abused the power of the federal government to try to influence the election in several ways, and not the least of which sending the troops to the border.
Yep.
That was one. But I get these emails from the White House.
Do you?
From the White House, you know, their official government emails.
Yep.
And they talk about how Democrats are liars and, you know, and ruining the economy and all of this stuff in an official government email, all building up to the election.
Which
is
a violation.
That's another aspect.
Right. And that's a violation of the Hatch Act, as was bringing Kellyanne Conway and Sarah Sanders on stage at one of his rallies the other night.
Right. Exactly.
Can't do it. But he does it. See, he doesn't understand. He doesn't know the rules. He doesn't have any care about the rules because he thinks they don't apply to him. But someone's got to hold him accountable. And hopefully that's the role that the House Democrats will play.
Right. I got another one for you on that. Okay. And that was he does these tariffs. Now,
yes.
I am of a, as you and I know, we were against the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Yes, we were.
And a lot of things. That doesn't mean I agree in any way with the way he's handling that.
Right.
But, so he's got these tariffs, and China responds, because China's smart, by, you know, soybeans and stuff. So what does he do? He just reaches in and grabs $20 billion to give to the farmers.
Yeah.
So they'll vote for him.
Of course.
And that's flat out what it was. Remember how they all complained that we bailed out General Motors and helped them?
Yep.
And it
Which
saved,
we got,
think,
we, got reimbursed.
Also,
we got reimbursed for every dime.
The entire supply chain and everything else.
Right.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, I said we got reimbursed for all the money that we used
that
to bail out
the
auto industry. Right.
Yeah. And in fact, saving 2 million jobs right there is a reimbursement of that kind of an investment.
That's true.
But That was so different because it was just handing money to people for to say, here, keep supporting me. Here's $20 billion.
Yeah, right. That's exactly it. It was a bribe. And you know, there are a lot of other people. What I, you know, freaked out in the days leading up to the election were when they'd go to, you know, the prairie, they'd go out to the middle of the country to some of these farmers whose livelihood has been impacted by Trump's policies. And you hear these dumbasses like, well, I know it's hurting me now, but I think it's for the right reason, and I'm willing to give them a chance.
Those soybean markets are gone.
Yeah.
They are gone. China has moved around. They found other sources for these soybeans.
Wow.
Why would they ever come back to buy Midwest soybeans?
Uh-huh.
They're not going to.
No. No. And these people eventually are going to realize that their Lord and Savior, Donald Trump, is the guy who's hurting them. I mean, his policies are hurting the people who voted for him.
Oh, yeah. Across the board.
Yep.
Trump actually said at a rally the other day, if you vote for Democrats, they'll get rid of Obamacare.
I know. I have that clip. I played it. Unbelievable. Like, he's going to protect it?
Yeah. And all of the people who voted against pre-existing conditions repeatedly were campaigning saying the Democrats will get rid of protection for pre-existing conditions.
Right.
So, and a lot of them won. So, yeah. So, okay. So we got the House.
Yes.
And we're already seeing hints of oversight. I think it was Nadler put something out about we need to take a look at why at this firing of Jeff Sessions and what were the reasons
good.
For it.
Okay, good, because that
and you're going to start seeing that now. And I think the media will cover it without saying, oh, that's overreach.
Right.
We'll see.
Well, some in the media will cover it. Actually, I've got right. Adam Schiff. Last night, he says we're ready for oversight. Here's a little bit of that.
According to NBC News projections, you are on deck to be the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee as your party appears poised to take control of the House. What's your reaction to that news and to that big new responsibility that you've just been given?
Well, I'm very grateful to people all over the country, millions of people who've been really working day and night for 2 years to make this happen, to essentially retake the control in the direction of the country, to make sure that the Congress once again can play its role as a co-equal branch of government. So I feel enormously grateful for all of those that work so hard. And this is a big responsibility. Look, it's a big vote of confidence by the American people. And we're going to set a positive agenda going forward on just the issues that you were talking about, making sure that people can afford their health care, that if they have pre-existing conditions, they can keep their health care, that we address the needs of so many Americans who, yes, are working, but not earning enough to get by. But we also intend to make sure that the oversight role that the Republicans so completely abdicated, the Congress once again undertakes and does so responsibly.
And energetically and with great vim and vigor, because that's their job. And we've been waiting for somebody to hold Trump accountable for the shit that he's pulled. You know, I've got these clips from the press conference today. And, you know, Trump knew he was firing Sessions. He does an hour and a half long press conference and doesn't say anything about it. And he was even asked, I've got this question here, about the Mueller probe. And it would have been the perfect time for him to say, by the way, we wish Jeff Sessions good luck. He's going to be leaving. But he didn't. Instead, he waited and issued a tweet announcing the interim guy. So here's Trump at the presser when he could have said he's firing Sessions.
Mr. President, going back to the Russia investigation and the potential investigations from the now Democratic majority in Congress, some say that you could stop all this by declassifying.
I could fire everybody right now, but I don't want to stop it.
What about
politically?
I
don't like stopping it. Yeah. It's a disgrace. It should have never been started because there was no crime.
Right.
It is. Everybody has conflicts. They all have conflicts over there that are beyond anything that anybody's ever seen
really?
In terms of
conflicts. Oh, I want to hear more.
From the fact that people ask for jobs.
What?
From the fact that they have very good friends on the other side, like
what?
Really good friends like Comey, who, by the way, lied and leaked and also leaked classified information. Nothing happened there. It might, perhaps, maybe something's happening that I don't know about. I stay away from it. But you know what I do? I let it just go on. They're wasting a lot of money, but I let it go on because I don't want to do that. But you're right. I could end it right now. I could say that investigation is over.
No, he can't, but by the way. He
really,
cannot do that.
It's a disgrace, frankly. And
now, fuck you. You're a disgrace. I just had to cut him off.
Don't play any more clips.
Okay, I won't. But he lies. I mean, he just makes shit up. He can't just end the Mueller investigation. He cannot do that, despite what he says.
Yeah. Well, he could. He could just do it. Nobody will do anything. Nobody can do anything about it. But then the reaction and the... I think he's got a sack of indictments waiting to just pop out as soon as...
Well, I hope so. And that's what some of the reports have been saying, that once we get past the midterms, Mueller is getting ready to pounce.
But I think he's got a plan for
if
Trump does something.
I hope so, because, look, with Sessions out today, and as you said, that means that Rosenstein is no longer in charge of the Mueller investigation. This new acting Attorney General Whitaker will be. And, we've got to be ready for when the next shoe drops, which could be any time.
On that Sessions resignation letter, we need to check if there's a timestamp on it, because I might have won a bet.
You might have won a bet?
Was within 5 seconds of the polls closing. But well, let's talk about
here.
What we learned and what to do now. I'll start. I think we learned something about mobilizing non-political groups, okay? I mean, like the DCCC.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's a political group.
Oh, no.
I saw somebody.
I got news. CNN is reporting that Rod Rosenstein is on his way to the White House.
Oh, crap.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
Well, the DCCC, there was somebody wrote a thing, it was in like Washington Post or The Atlantic, about what happened when he gave DCC money, right? DCCC money, as he thought he might get a thank you, but instead he started getting deluged with hundreds of emails asking for more money. No, I mean outside groups, the MoveOns, Indivisible did an amazing job, mm-hmm. All of these groups, and I want to highlight
left.
One
yeah.
and tell people, because today is the day to really start. It's not over. Today,
today is the beginning of 2020.
All of our groups, all of our, you call it infrastructure, progressive infrastructure, now is when we start increasing our donations, our help, and everything else to get them strong now. So they're out there, they're pressuring Dems that might, you know, waver, and they're going after Republicans, and they're organizing people by going door to door. So
mm-hmm.
I want to push one called movement.vote.
Ah.
Let's go check them out.
Yep.
I actually
had Billy, what's his name, Billy Wimsett, on the show to talk about movement.org because what they're doing is so great.
Well, now is the time to start bolstering movement.vote, because they take that money you give and they divide it up among a whole bunch of grassroots groups.
Right.
That go door to door and do all that local work, converting people, talking to people, getting people organized and stuff like that. So there's one, movement.vote.
Movement.vote.
Give them 10 bucks. Just give them 10 bucks. You know, everybody listening to this, give them 10 bucks and, you know, we're off to a good start.
Right. And they've done great work. I mean, it's not something you hear about every day. Again, because they're mobilizing money. They're helping these small grassroots local groups get out into the community. So it's sort of behind the scenes work, but they're doing great
work. I'm not just pushing them. There's Indivisible. There's so many groups out there. Now is the time to get going on all of this, because you think we had a wave now. Well, what's going to happen with the Democrats able to investigate and expose stuff that's going on? Get people organized. Now is the time to get ready, because, you know, we actually were able to take back the House. You know, we were having conversations where I wasn't sure there'd be another election after Trump got in.
I know.
And we were able to do this, so I'm a lot more hopeful. I have a lot more belief that this kind of organizing will make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to push that. Movement.vote, but there's also, you know, there's the MoveOn.
MoveOn is back.
All the rest of them out there. DFA.
Yep.
Progressive Democracy for America.
Right. Progressive Change Campaign Committee. There's
PCCC. Right.
They're boldprogressives.org. There's Swing Left, who did a lot of real mobilizing on Get Out the Vote. There's a lot of groups doing great work. Here in Florida, we've got the Democratic Progressive Caucus of Florida. Our friend Susan Smith is the head of that. And there's a new chapter down here in South Florida. So there are so many. The infrastructure, as it were, is there. And now is the time to double down on your activism instead of letting up. Because actually, the presidential 2020 race begins today. Officially, even though for Trump it began on Inauguration Day. That's the day he filed his re-election papers.
Yep. Ugh, that's how to answer this all, and that sick feeling in our stomachs and all of those things, is to realize that we start now. We don't say, okay, that's done, like, you know, we always used to do, like how Obama closed down all the outside organizations and all of that and didn't use that mailing list, you know, and all of that. No. Start now. go out there and make it happen.
Right. And again, it's, you know, it's a continuation of what we've been dealing with for the last 2 years. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm not going to sleep comfortably at night until Trump is out of there, until we have like a democracy reestablished in this country.
Right. Everybody can vote, and there's a week to vote, and you get a day off.
That's right.
And all of it. Oh, I got one for you here.
Okay.
Paper ballots, yes, but listen to this. Suppose you run those paper ballots through optical scanners, right?
Right, yep.
Well, every day I have a thing with the post office where every morning they send me scans of all the mail that's coming to my house.
Oh, really? Cool.
They can do that. You run it through the optical scanner. The
optical Dave, we've got like 30 seconds left, so wrap it up.
It takes a digital image. They upload all those optical ballots images.
Yep.
And everybody can go count the actual paper ballots that way themselves and prove the results of an election.
Yeah, well, that's what we need to be able to do. Paper ballots, hand counted, or at least hand verified. Anyway, we got a lot of suggestions.
And yes? That's the way for everybody to hand count. Go ahead.
You got it. Dave Johnson, we're out of time. Thank you for helping us get through this day after the election. Tomorrow,
thank you for having me on.
My pleasure. Thank you for joining me. Tomorrow, Howie Klein will be here. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.